Good morning, Tabernacle Church.
Good morning.
Ed and I have been anxious to visit you ever since Katie and Heather broke our hearts and moved away from Atlanta a few years ago. We were not very pleased with you at that point, I'll have to say, because you called them away. But they have found a home here, and we are so happy for that and for the ministry and the witness of this congregation. We've heard so much about you, and we are just very pleased to be with you today and to be a part of this warm and loving witnessing circle that is a witness to justice and peace and the dignity of all people in this city. The waves and the circles of your witness here spread out into many places, and people know of you. So keep loving, keep resisting, keep fighting for what is right and just, and we will reach out to one another across the miles and give thanks that we share this journey together. First, a personal word before I read this wonderful psalm. Katie said a word about coming out of the life of the open door community in Atlanta. And I just want to say that it was a crucible for many of us who lived together and who shared a work among homeless people and death row in the city of Atlanta and the state of Georgia, 40 years on death row since 1977. Ed and I have visited, and both Katie and Heather have visited on death row in Georgia. It remains in our hearts as we all live at a more of a distance from Georgia. 39 years now among homeless and abandoned people in the center of the city of Atlanta, and 35 years in one large, mostly happy household in the center of downtown. We were former students and former professional people, formerly homeless men and women and children, former prisoners, sometimes even former death row, black, white, brown women, men, young, old, PhD and masters, and people who were educated on the streets and in prison and in the military. We were hetero and LGBTQIA living all together, and I always have to mention that at one point before we left the city, we had a weekly shower line, and all of the trans folk and the homeless people in the homeless community of Atlanta were coming to the open door because it was the one place they could get a shower and a change of clothes and not be preached a sermon or told that they should be somebody that they were not. It was a blessed life. We were a community who, in addition to being activists, often in the streets and on the way to jail, and at the dinner table, one of our crucibles was the dinner table, because we had to learn in the midst of that diversity to listen. One of the hardest things for us all to do. And the more white skin and formal education and privilege we had, the harder we had to work to shut our mouths and listen so that we could take those tiny steps toward dismantling white supremacy and dismantling the ownership and privilege that seemed to have been ours as a birthright. The open door community is now a much smaller entity. Three of us moved together to Baltimore 3 years ago, and so our work has vastly shrunk, but we still publish a monthly newspaper based on our action, reflection, transformation way of life. We're learning our way around a very complicated city, serving food and drink to the plundered poor and maintaining our relationship with Georgia's death row. And I want to ask you to join us, please, in remembering a man named Marion Wilson, because this coming Thursday, June 20th, Marion, outside some miracle, is scheduled to die on a lethal gurney in the death house at Georgia Diagnostic Prison in Jackson, Georgia. We still practice the death penalty in Georgia, and this is a horrific realization that, barring a miracle, Marion will be the 1,500th of the men, women, and children who have been executed in this country since we resumed executions in 1977. So please join us in remembering him, in praying for a miracle, and praying that the time will come that we abolish the death penalty. Now, you Pennsylvanians are in this barbaric institution with us, I'm sorry to say, though you have, thank God, a moratorium in this state, which means you're not currently carrying out executions, but you still have the death penalty on the books. So we all have lots of work to do, and we thank you for being part of that struggle. So we turn now to Psalm 8, one of my favorite psalms, and I'm going to read a different version, an adapted version, that I've been working with for a little while in preparation for being here today. O Holy One, beloved Creator, how wondrous is your name in all the earth. You have let your glorious light shine above the heavens. Out of the mouths of small children and infants, you have founded a protective spirit to stand up to the enemies of love, to calm the distraught and transform those who would do harm to others. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have put in place, what are human beings that you're mindful of us and mere mortals that you care for us? And yet you have created us, all of us, in your image. And you long for us to be partners in your love. You invite us to struggle for justice and build the beloved community. You have made us caretakers, responsible for all you have made with your own hands, and you have put created things, all of them, alongside of us. All sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and all that you created to pass along the paths of the sea. That does not include plastic bags. O Holy One, beloved Creator, how wondrous is your name in all the earth. Holy Wisdom, Holy Word. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel spoke to the rendering of the theology of this psalm when he said, "Awe is more than an emotion. It is a way of understanding, insight into a meaning greater than ourselves. The beginning of awe is wonder, and the beginning of wisdom is awe." Awe is the intuition of the dignity that resides in all the creation, a realization that things are not only what they are, but they also stand, however remotely, for something supreme. there is a holy in the ordinary, and I would call that in our tradition a very Eucharistic theology, finding the holy within the bread and the cup, and knowing that this is the very body and blood of God. Our choice in relationship to the created order is to see it as something that is to be manipulated or to be appreciated. Think for a moment, if you would, of the largest, most beautiful tree you've ever seen, and just meditate on that tree in your mind for a moment. It's a beautiful thing that God has created, which teaches us of the strength and steadfastness of the Creator. But many see a beautiful tree as something to be cut down for so many board feet of lumber to make something for ourselves. We need to cultivate, as Rabbi Heschel says, the heart and eyes of radical amazement. We're always working with the politics of translation of the scriptures. And of course, we know that people translate the scriptures from the original languages, and who those people are and what their life experience is are very important to how the scriptures are translated. And so in the face of growing climate catastrophe, we've got to raise some very specific questions about what we have done to the earth. We've done great harm to the created order by uncritically using the word dominion. Also, Genesis brings us this problem. And the translation to bring us dominion in this psalm is a choice that was not very helpful. The psalm also says that God has put everything under our feet. What kind of hierarchy have we set up and have we tolerated in this translation? Which is why I have, instead of using language that human beings dominate creation, that we are called to be stewards of creation. People who take care of creation, certainly using what we need to sustain human life, but no more than what we need. In fact, we've been terribly greedy, and now we are paying a terrible price for that, and the worst is yet to come. There are so many for whom the earth is to be manipulated, consumed, and controlled rather than appreciated with a sense of wonder. So we have to call ourselves back to that sense of wonder and understand that understanding the holiness of creation is a starting point for us to understand the dignity of it all. So verse 6 might be, you have made us stewards to use what we need and responsible to care for and protect all you have made with your own hands, and you put the created things alongside us, not under our feet. Here's the wonder and awe of creation that crashes headlong into the reality of the cross of the vagrant Christ and the convict Christ, where the loving intention of the Creator, the wondrous integrity of the creation, and the forming of the human being for dignity and equality. Dignity and equality, a word that we don't use enough, in the wondrous image of God it comes up against the evil of the alienated culture of power, greed, domination, violence. And so Jesus, the human one, the one who actualized the fullness of God's intention for the human persons and human community, lived among us. But the domination system couldn't take it, couldn't take Jesus, so he had to be snuffed out. Too much radical amazement, too much unbearably harsh and dreadful love, too costly a demand for the reordering of our lives and the sharing and actualizing of the beloved community. Because people like us have so much to give up in order that we all might share and have enough. And so the human one suffered a violent torture and death as a captive. But even this horror was transformed by the Creator God into life and hope. What a miracle. And so if we didn't get it in the Psalms, Jesus makes it clear for us, creation in the image of God is creation for equality. There is no human being created to be more or less than. As soon as we define any person or any group, be they Rohingyas in Southeast Asia or trans people of color on the streets of our cities, as soon as we define them as less than, we give ourselves permission to do anything to them or to stand quietly by as someone else kills and plunders. There is no human being created to be more than or less than. Now, that's an alien concept in this culture. Did you know that? Did you realize that? Do we hear it every day? In the beloved community of the heart of God, there is no white supremacy. There is no control of others that obliterates basic human freedom. God created us in her own image. God created us in their own image. And that's a literal Hebrew translation in Genesis 1. God created them in their own image. And crowned us with glory and honor. Unbelievable. Each of us and all of us. This week, federal inspectors made unannounced visits to a number of GEO prisons. If you don't know about the GEO Prison Corporation, you should learn about it. It used to be Wackenhut, but they got such a bad name, they changed their name to the GEO Corporation. They made unannounced visits to some of these prisons that are making billions of dollars caging immigrant children. Sometimes we just need to stop and set that apart and say there are corporations making billions of dollars from the caging of little children. And so the feds, was one of the times we're glad the feds were around and they made unannounced visits to these prisons where the children had been ripped from their families and put in cages. And what they found was that the 60,000 children who have been ripped from their families just in the last 3 months, 60,000 children, and many of them sent to secret shelters. secret shelters. We don't even know where they all are. And what they found was that in the geo prisons, the children were being fed rotten food, and they were using overflowing toilets. And the corporation executives announced this week that they are cutting all of their programs for education and recreation because there's not enough money to go around. Now, these are the people making billions, and these are the people who are working for the administration that has taken $80 billion that did not belong to this other account to build a stupid wall. $80 billion. And they're not letting children have their playtime and learning to read because there's not enough money. Sometimes we allow the glory and honor to be defaced. Sometimes we can't even see the glory and honor in others, but it was not ours to give, and it is not ours to declare gone. Church, we have to be ready for the renewal of a sense of wonder, a sense of radical amazement. We cannot take our beautiful earth for granted. That's how we got into so much trouble to begin with, to use and abuse until it strikes back. Where there is injustice, where there is inequality, where there is captivity, where there is denigration, it is our agenda as disciples to engage the evil, to love and serve the poor and the condemned, to reduce the distance between ourselves and the poor, as my dear partner always says. Reduce the distance. We cannot love from a distance. So we have to get close to the poor. We have to share their lives. We have to know how the plundered poor are having to live in this cruel society that seems to have lost its hardened heart. We have to engage the evil. Restore ourselves and our communities to God's gift of radical amazement for it all, that we might actualize our identity as those created in God's image to restore the defaced earth, to agitate for justice, to love and serve and create the beloved community. May it be so among us. May our wonder and our radical amazement grow until it overflows into the fruits of justice. Amen.